Sure, for the sake of it, yeah.
Supervisor Basha, Supervisor Caro, Supervisor Kubicki, Supervisor Franco, and Yiggs. I know it's Rebecca and...
Kenzie.
Kenzie.
Hi, Rebecca, nice to see you.
Well, and then just for the record, we'll just say Mary Metton, Amy Grile, Erica Ness, and...
Shelley Billingsley.
Shelley, okay. So we're all here.
You here to get educated?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, gonna have to open this up unless somebody else has the agenda here.
Well, the first item is certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law, and this was published on July 26th and 8th on August 2nd.
All right.
And then future program.
Cool, dive right in. Great. Well, thanks everyone for being here. I'm sure we've all met, but you know, I'm Erica. I'm the Positive Youth Development Educator. So I run our special youth programs, our special 4-H programs, including Youth in Governance, Youth as Resources, and now the NEA program, which you're all about to learn about. I have been super excited for about a year to talk about this program as we just finished our pilot year. So I have some data, results, and content to share with you now. So we're excited to dive in and talk about a really incredible way that we are working across the state with other counties as well as across the country with another university in North Carolina. So NEA is a partnership between UW-Madison, Division of Extension, and North Carolina A&T. It is funded through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Children, Youth, and Families at Risk program, which is called CIFAR. And about a year and a half ago, officially, they awarded the program $640,000 to be used across the two states in five different counties across 5 years. So the NEA program is a program that's fully funded by this federal grant money, and all the money on Wisconsin's side is housed at UW-Madison. So NEA is a program that focuses on youth of color and youth with limited income backgrounds, youth who have not historically been reached as well with 4-H programming in Wisconsin. We are working in Waukesha County, Rock County, and Kenosha County, and then, as I mentioned, Wilson and Martin counties in North Carolina. So this is a program that works with middle schoolers and high schoolers to help them transition from high school to success in college, careers, and the adult world. And NEA means purpose in Swahili. Sometimes I'm so used to saying it, I forget that, you know, it's not a word most people are familiar with. Like, what is NEA? Is it an acronym? Like, oh yes, so I remember to slide that in there. Cool. So like I said, NEA is a 4-H college and career preparation program, working really kind of focusing on that learning through doing motto of 4-H that has worked so well for us in Wisconsin and Kenosha County. It works with teenagers in middle school and high school to encourage them to explore opportunities, to work with mentors and learn about college professional training and work options before making a decision about their futures. So just trying to fill gaps, especially for youth who are most likely first generation or come from lower income backgrounds and just have faced whatever barriers or lack of opportunities to learn about all their options after school. So this could be the application process for college, connecting them with apprenticeships, allowing them to learn about the different careers that are out there, because, you know, when we're in like first grade, right, we want to be a veterinarian or we want to be a police officer and a lot of really cool options, but then we learn as we get older that there's really an infinite amount of jobs. I did not know that my job existed until I applied for it, and it's the most perfect job for me that I could imagine. So just trying to help youth really expand their minds and learn what all opportunities there are, especially here in Kenosha County, if they choose to continue their career or educational path locally, which I know we really want more young people to do. So it applies curriculum and knowledge developed through National 4-H, through our 4-H programs in the state, as well as all the knowledge by the professionals in North Carolina, all of whom who have decades of experience working in 4-H around the country, and obviously all of our local knowledge and local professionals to give youth the opportunities that they need to make an educated decision about what to do after high school and make sure that they have the opportunities to be able to fund whatever it is that they're looking to do be prepared for testing and other requirements. So again, it really emphasizes youth of color, youth from low-income backgrounds, and youth living in more urban areas like the city of Kenosha. Because we all know that we have really thriving 4-H programs all throughout the county, but even though 4-H has really evolved and diversified in recent years, it not only has our incredible farming and livestock animal raising programs, but also STEM programs, outdoor sports programs, really whatever the youth in that area are interested in, even though it's diversified outside of farming, it hasn't quite reached communities that aren't as familiar with farming. There's people that have been in 4-H, you know, forever, their whole lives, have had parents, grandparents, but then there's a whole lot of people who have no idea what 4-H is and have never heard of it. So this is a really, really exciting opportunity to bring 4-H and the structure to the city of Kenosha. Of course, youth from all over the county are welcome as well, and to communities that have not experienced it before in the really specific need of college and career preparation. So a bit of timeline. So Extension applied for this grant with North Carolina in early 2021. And then around the time I was hired, they were fairly certain in kind of the ending stages of that grant process to receive the grant. So that was one thing that I really had in mind when I started my position with Extension, was that I would be helping build this program locally. And then officially the first date of the funding, the first funding year, was August 25th, 2021. So that was our pilot year, is our pilot year. We're coming up on the very end in a couple weeks. So this funding for year one has been really focused on research, program development, curriculum development, collaboration, and then launching a pilot of the program, which I will get into shortly. So this year I have been building really strong relationships with schools, libraries, local organizations, as well as my counterparts in the other counties, working with school staff, youth workers, other extension educators around the state, and just really working to ensure that this program aligns with the proposed grant outcomes, as well as our organizational priorities here in Kenosha County. And everyone's schedules. at that point, we had a goal of launching our spring pilot program and have at least 10 teens get involved, which I'm happy to say that we have. So I will get to that shortly. And then year two, this August, we'll be launching our full program. And then into years three, four, and five, we'll be expanding the program, kind of solidifying, figuring out what's worked and what hasn't in the first couple years, and then working to make this program sustainable. So we have people at the state level working for, you know, already looking for additional funding to extend the program longer than 5 years, as well as ways to really incorporate it into the work of our local partners. Cool. So here's just a bit of language from the grant. So the short-term results are that youth will build social awareness as they interact with individuals with an emphasis on older youth and adults from BIPOC backgrounds, STEM professionals, college students, and local professionals who represent pathways youth are exploring and to learn about their experiences. Youth will also identify new interests and become more self-aware as a result of cultural exploration via field trips, staff, and mentor-led discussions, experiential learning, and special events. So again, just allowing youth to really identify, you know, what they need to get where they want to go. What a really cool aspect of this program is not only are we developing curriculum that fits locally in Kenosha as well as across all of the counties that we're working in, but we're leaving that room to go where the students that get involved really want to go and have that flexibility to mold the program around the needs of the students that get involved and their communities. And then long-term results, youth will derive a sense of motivation and efficacy concerning pathway possibilities. I think that especially if you are from a low-income background, it can be challenging to see, and if you don't have adults in your life that have taken certain career paths, it can be really challenging to see that. So a big part of NEA is building that self-confidence and building that visioning and that plan out for students to help them see that they can get where they want to go based on their interests. And youth will develop supportive relationships with the base of culturally congruent mentors from different pathways. Cool, so now moving into Kenosha after this kind of overview of what NEA is overall. So again, we're really leveraging state and national resources to expand 4-H in Kenosha County and support youth in finding meaningful careers. The amount that is going to Kenosha County is $184,222. Not sure why that exactly was not part of that discussion. But that's the amount. It was to be about 23,000 in year one, the planning year, and then about 40,000 for the other 4 years. But I have been pretty frugal this first planning year, so I'm excited to be able to use more of that funding later on. So we have administrative support at the state level, academic research support, personnel support, all the mileage that I use for all of my meetings, all the supplies, anything that I do related to NEA is all coming from the state. So it's no additional financial barrier at all on the county, which is really cool. And again, just collaboration across the state and country. So much knowledge kind of coming into our office from our colleagues and counterparts in North Carolina. Cool. So in each county, there is a main community partner that NEA works with, and here in Kenosha, it is the Kenosha Public Library. That is where we host the programming after school and throughout the summer. That has been my main partner in developing localized curriculum and identifying mentors and identifying speakers and activities. We did launch this program in April. I meant 2022, my bad. That should say April 2022. With a multi-county Sherman Phoenix experience. Time goes fast, doesn't it? So we went to what's called the Sherman Phoenix Business Incubator in Milwaukee, which houses about 40 mostly Black-owned businesses of all different types. And we used that opportunity to be able to meet with the youth that were involved in the program in Rock County and Waukesha and be able to learn what they're doing and allow youth to get to know each other, experience Milwaukee, and meet some of the young professionals living in Milwaukee, and just kind of get out of their comfort zone a little bit while they learn from all of the incredible entrepreneurs at Sherman Phoenix. And then from there, we kept moving forward with a spring break camp, a day camp, not overnight, where we had 2 days of a lot of different programming at the library. And then from there, started meeting after school every Thursday all spring semester. This summer, we've had a couple really incredible workshops where youth learn to plan events. Tomorrow, we have a really great workshop about public speaking, answering the interview question, tell me about yourself, and using multimedia to tell their story. So there's a lot of youth that are really excited about that. And then in fall 2022, we'll officially launch year two of the full program and starting on the first day of KUSD's school year, September 1st, we will be again meeting every week at the library. So here's some photos of some of the events that we've done. These are from our spring break program. So we've leveraged a lot of community partnerships to really be able to connect youth with opportunities that already exist in Kenosha, as well as teach youth about different career paths. So we worked with Mr. Alvin Owens of the College Tours, who hosts a really incredible college visit every spring break, and to talk to youth about the college application process. The library has a lot of really incredible resources, libraries, you know, including virtual reality helmets. So we had youth do a career-focused virtual reality experience where they got to experience different careers virtually. And then we have also been using a lot of our knowledge here at Extension to lead some of the activities. So there's our colleague Vijay teaching youth about gardening, and throughout that session he taught them a lot about careers in agriculture and horticulture. And then of course Amy Kreil over here did Real Colors with the youth. There's a teen version, and that went over very, very well. They're very excited to kind of really dive into what are their, you know, skills and
strengths.
Yeah. And then Terry also led a really incredible mock interview workshop with them. That was super helpful. A lot of them are really, really nervous about interviewing as they kind of get to be that age to start applying for jobs. So that was really awesome as well. Whoops. Okay. Here we have a couple of pictures from a few other events. So at Sherman Phoenix in Milwaukee, they heard from a lot of incredible business owners at that venue. There's also a karaoke party randomly going on a different floor. So some of the kids got out there and sang after our activities, so that was pretty cool. I just got brave enough to do karaoke like a year ago, so I'm like proud of 13-year-olds who can do karaoke, because I don't think I could talk to strangers maybe when I was 13. And then one of our more recent events, I have a couple pictures from there as well. We partnered with Building Our Future and learned from their youth leadership cohort, who put together a town hall to allow youth to ask questions to KUSD's school board candidates last year. So this was I have really especially enjoyed when the youth have had a chance to learn from other youth, because we've had a lot of middle school and early high school age youth join NEA, and it's been really incredible to see them interacting with some of the juniors and seniors who've already started their own businesses, who've been already putting on events and really, you know, putting forth youth voice. There's been three different youth from the Youth and Governance program from last year who have come and helped facilitate events and talk to the youth about the businesses that they've started or about this opportunity with Building Our Future. So that was really cool. They did a mock debate, learned a little bit about city government. Alderman Anthony Kennedy came in and talked to them about running for office, and then they actually had a mock debate with him, so that was kind of fun. and here's a couple flyers that I've put out there. So like I said, Kayla Mitchell, she has started her own lashes and beauty business, and she came in and talked to the youth about how she was able to do that and what opportunities there are in Kenosha for young people to start their own businesses before they even turn 18. We also had a local barber who's in his 20s come in and talk about his career. So that was a really incredible event. And then there's tomorrow, our public speaking workshop that we're super excited for. And almost every week we have a local business owner, a professional, come in and talk to the youth and really lead like a hands-on interactive activity that helps them with their career. Sometimes it's just myself in the library leading like a vision board workshop, or we've done a lot of focus groups, really kind of asking them what they want to get started. But outside of that, typically we always have people from the community, especially leaders in the Black community, young leaders, people really doing incredible things in their careers. Yeah, so here's some statistics. So in our first pilot year, we developed curriculum. In Kenosha, we hosted 13 events. We had the one trip to Sherman Phoenix. I've had 34 youth attend my programs, which was more than 10, so I was excited, and 14 of them have attended more than once. I found that the youth that can go on spring break are not always the same youth that can come after school, or not always the same youth that can come in the summer. So we're really kind of developing our base and our group that hopefully sticks with the program. The idea is that the youth would stay in the program from middle school through high school and be able to mentor the youth that then join, and kind of allow us to continue to meet their needs as they get closer to graduation. We partnered with 8 different community partners locally. We held 4 focus groups with the youth that attended and identified what their interests are, a few of which help with college applications, help with interviewing, job application skills or creation, how to find a job, job shadowing. A lot of them are really interested in really seeing jobs in person, so we're kind of working out how that will work, because a lot of the youth have very different interests, so kind of figuring out who we can connect them with and what mentors we can continue to get engaged so they can see what jobs are like in the real world. They're really interested in tech careers. They're very interested in helping their community. And in general, I've seen a strong sense of pride and interest in being involved in Kenosha and learning more about what there is in Kenosha County for them. So that's been really great, as well as entrepreneurship. So far we've done some career mapping, helped them with college applications, did some starting your own business workshops and allowed them to meet business owners. We did a workshop on entrepreneurship and careers in the arts. We've worked with the virtual reality helmets. There's the Kenosha Community Media lab is there at the library, so they've been able to do a lot of cool things with the green screen and the video equipment and audio equipment, which they're excited about. They've learned how to plan community events, learned about careers in agriculture, problem-solving skills, real colors, mock interviews, and learned about city government. Those are some examples. Yeah, so I think the library and myself are super excited about where we're positioned now to go into our second year, which is our kind of full launch of the program. So like I said, our first event for fiscal year two, or not fiscal year, but grant year two, will be our weekly after school program starting September 1st at the library. They will continue to have incredible opportunities to learn from local professionals and mentors. We will continue to work on skill development and community building. We hope to have one trip or big event a semester with the youth. So one in the spring, one in the fall, one in the summer, really based on what their interests are. And then part of that funding, that $184,000, is going to hire a part-time person to work with me, completely focused on NIA. So I'm excited to continue that process. There's a few different hiring models that they're kind of exploring in different counties, whether that's one person who works 20 hours a week or young interns, maybe college students, multiple people that work less hours. So I'm kind of in the stage of exploring what I think will work best. But that hire should happen fairly soon, and that will be completely funded through the CIFAR grant. And if it is a part-time position of 20 hours a week, it will include benefits, which I think is really important because I know that there's so many kind of gig workers and people, entrepreneurs and people in jobs that aren't full-time, or even some that are full-time, that don't provide that. So I'm really excited about potentially being able to open up that position to a variety of people with a variety of needs. So we've mapped out our next sessions through the fall semester, and there's kind of room for changes in there if the youth have specific interests, but really kind of depending on where we are in college application, on the college application calendar, job application calendar, we have a lot of pretty exciting things coming up. And yeah, so that's kind of my spiel about NIA. I'm excited to present on this again in a year and see everything that we've accomplished and how we continue to grow. It'll be interesting to see once we have that second person hired if we're able to expand to another site, either on the north side of Kenosha or more out west, kind of depending on what partners we connect with and what schools and what the needs are. Really important partner so far has been Lance Middle School, as they're very close to the library, so it's been very accessible for youth to walk over after school. I know all of you are very passionate about Kenosha County and the community and very involved, so if you know of any local businesses looking to hire young people, obviously the summer is coming to an end, so we're not kind of in that phase, but looking to hire youth, engage with youth, present to the youth, provide a tour of facilities, whatever it might be, we're offering apprenticeships, please connect with me. And if you have any thoughts or ideas are coming to mind about local career exploration, we really want this program to be give youth the opportunity, to open doors and open the world to them, but also show them what a plethora of opportunities we have here in Kenosha County. So it's been really cool to see those two ideas come together. And yeah.
You said you needed 10 in your foundational year. What's your target this year?
Oh, yes. It should be 30 to 50 every year.
30 to 50 per year. Continuous or one touch? What constitutes?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the requirements of the grant are for that. I personally would like to see youth be there multiple times. Like, that would be my goal, is to have 30 youth who attend at least 3 sessions, for example. But off the top of my head, I'm not sure what the reporting requirements are on that.
Do you have a website?
So it's on the extension website. So under youth, I can exit out of this. I'm still building out that page, and let's see, where extension.
Is that Kenosha?
There it is.
Yep. Okay.
Cool. So yes, it's kenosha.extension.wisc.edu/youth/NIA-pathways-and, etc. I'm still kind of learning WordPress a little bit.
So it's under youth development, though. If they want to find...
it'd be easy to just go to youth, and then you can click it there. Oh, what was there? Okay, well, excuse me. I have to add it. Interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Put on youth development. Is here.
Okay.
But now I know that it's not up there, so thank you for that flag. Yeah, any other questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, are you leaning towards hiring someone part time at 20 hours, or are you leaning towards apprenticeship programs for several youth, because you said something about 20 hours and offering insurance as well?
Yeah, if it's a part-time person, and that's been the original plan, but now my colleague in Rock County has decided to use the funding for youth apprenticeships instead, like call it younger students, less hours. So I'm kind of in the I was very close to posting the 20-hour position, and then I thought I would reflect on that a little bit. So I have been leaning towards the one person. That's kind of where I'm set now.
Versus the apprenticeship, where you can have more touches with more people.
Right. That is also my thought is that that could work really well. But I haven't developed that plan yet, I suppose. So I guess I should say I was leaning toward the 20.
So when do you think you're going to have that plan developed? When you're going to think about 20 hours part-time insurance versus apprenticeship programs for several youth or whatever you decide?
Yeah. I would like to have the job posted by the end of August, so very soon.
That's like right around the corner. You got 2 weeks or so, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure it's also a consideration of your supervision time, and I mean, if you were to spread it across, say, 3-4 different apprenticeships, that would put a lot of additional kind of time commitment on your plate, too, potentially.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot to consider.
Yeah, because the funding, that 184,444,222, whatever you got up there, that'll be eaten away by the insurance as well as part-time person, so that number will go down versus the apprenticeship program, or you don't pay the apprenticeship, right?
Yeah, so I have a funding, the apprentices would be paid, yes,
okay,
in this case. So I have a funding string for the support for the program. So it would either, so it's been mapped out at, I'm not sure with fringes.
I only bring this up just to have some thought.
No, it's helpful.
The thought that I have, and you're the one that's going to run this. You do what you want.
And it's possible to do. I've
I'm not going to micromanage your program.
Yeah.
It's your program fully, and I'll support whatever you do.
Thanks.
All I'm saying is just the food for thought.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I've looked into, you know, if there's any courses at Parkside that would offer credit, but it seems that, yeah, so far that's not necessarily, because you're right that there could be apprenticeships that are unpaid, so you could do both. But I think for this program to reach the amount of youth and that we want it to reach, and we definitely need, you know, paid assistance, and we have funds set aside for that, so that's... Yeah, it's a decision I definitely need to make. They've already, Rock County is moving forward with doing the apprentices, and then Waukesha County already had a part-time person who's now taking on this program, so I'm kind of looking at both of the counties. Exactly. But our program has been a little bit farther along than some of the other counties, and I don't have another person or persons helping me, so it's time for me to do that.
That's why you're so much farther ahead than out.
Yeah, it's time for me to have a partner in crime or several young people to work with, so I will let you all know when that happens.
Thank you
for that. How is it being introduced to students, other than like being available at the library? How is it being introduced to them?
Yeah, so I have been going to schools. In the spring, I went to Ruther and Lance and met with youth in person during their lunch hours and talked to them about the program. I've been partnering with the African American Youth Initiative at KUSD, so getting a lot of the word out through their contacts at each school, as well as some of the other groups. I did go to the African American Youth Initiative summer program, and I led one of our NIA activities there with youth, and then told them, you know, if you loved that, come on down. And I have been meeting with the counselors at KUSD and at other schools outside of KUSD as well, and kind of just popped into their meetings whenever I, at first to tell them about the program, and then once I had more concrete information, once we got started. So I've been connecting with counselors, I've been trying to talk to youth in person, face-to-face at the schools. And then now my biggest priority is to talk to youth in person at the schools I have not been able to go to yet, as well as connect with some parents. Because I think a lot of the youth that have been going, which has been pretty cool, has been all on their own accord. It hasn't been, you know, any youth that have been kind of dragged there by their parents. It's been cool to see that initiative, but I think that having some parent or guardian, rather, encouragement to get them in the door first, and then hopefully their interest will cause them to want to stay, will be a big game changer. So that's, especially as many of the schools are about to, or just, yeah, are all about to get started again, being able to connect with some parent groups and some more teachers and counselors will be good. But I'm definitely open to suggestions, especially from young people.
I'd always say social media is the way to go. Sure, everybody's always scrolling through Instagram or TikTok, and so just if you see it, it'll be there and in your head.
True. So
maybe that's something to tell your apprentice to do. Make a social
media
account. They would know how to run it, so.
Are you applying?
I might as well.
True. Yeah, I definitely, we don't have an extension Instagram, which is a barrier, or TikTok, or et cetera, et cetera. We only have Facebook. So that's definitely a barrier to reaching young people, but to create a whole new social media presence is kind of a big undertaking. But we've kind of been exploring a like youth extension Instagram page and be able to share 4-H opportunities, including NIA and others, YIG, YAR. That is an idea. And the Youth as Resources Board last year was very, very interested as well. In creating an Instagram and other social media presences. So I wish Terry was here, you know, to hear me talk about social media, because it is a big undertaking, but it's definitely true that once I have the support, we'll be able to do that.
Might be on the
car. Yeah, transportation. Yes.
The other thing I didn't hear, Erica, is there's not like a club type atmosphere. It's at will, so to speak. So if you like the session, come to the session. But you're really not joining an organization. You're not part of something. People like to be a part of something that helps draw them back. So
Yeah, the idea is that it is to become a club-type atmosphere, and we have a few youth who've been coming to almost every session that have, and there is an application form and a sign-up sheet, which is the same sign-up sheet that other 4-H clubs use. So it's been a little bit interesting to explore like the library's model in comparison to the 4-H model, because library programs in general are very at will, and we want to leave it open so youth can just walk in. But then when they do attend, then I'm like, hey, here's more about Mia, here's our form, and we want you to stay involved. So that's also a big piece. We'll be chartering Mia this year as a 4-H club, and taking more steps to kind of make it a more cohesive program. I think this year it really also just started right after spring break, so being able to start right from the school year, and we have a few youth that have, you know, are really excited about continuing and kind of build that community, and that group will really help maintain youth as well as really get the full impact of the program. Because the idea is that the youth would stay a part of it through their high school career, like a club. So yeah, we're not quite there yet.
Let's get on our contact list and follow us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, that's where all the old people are.
Well, we're on Facebook.
Along those same lines, you could do like a mailing list or like a texting list that just people receive information.
True.
Right before the meetings or something like that. Just a little reminder.
Yeah. I have the all 34 emails and phone numbers, and so I call everybody and email them. And I have sign-up forms that, like a digital, I also have a digital sign-up form now as well, like a Google form. But yeah, we're still exploring that. And
so
yeah,
I do have a couple questions. So then, sounds like right now, pilot, you're keeping it more centralized because you're still in the developmental stage. But it is the idea to eventually decentralize it, like, you know, like the 4-H, there's multiple, you know, locations around, so there's like club leaders and stuff like you guys were talking about. So is the idea to eventually become that as well?
Well, this would be more like its own 4-H club in addition to all the clubs that exist, like kind of go into that model. And I think that for year one, probably not, but I could see in year two, our first full year, we'll stick to one group, but depending on, that's another factor to consider when I'm considering the part-time person versus apprenticeships, is that would really fall on that part-time person to really manage all the administration of if it was multiple groups and help them grow, whereas apprenticeships would be more temporary, so they can help with the programming. It might be a little bit harder to maintain. I don't know. Anyway, get on a tangent. So for now, my only mandate is to have 30 to 50 youth continuously attending this program and reaching those positive outcomes of career skill development and career aspirations. And it kind of, we're just kind of figuring out what the community needs are, what the library's capacity is to continue as a partner, to grow as a partner, they are continuing as a partner at their Southside location, but you know, they obviously have multiple locations, or is there a school? We've also looked into that because it is a barrier that we're finding, getting kids to be able to go to the library after school, whereas programming that's at the school is obviously a bit more convenient. So is there a school in Kenosha County that would be interested in partnering? We will see. But I think right now we are really focused on getting that club like atmosphere developed at the library, getting our annual kind of schedule down and our program really defined and working really, really well with our first group, and then from there determining if we have the capacity and if there's the need to create more.
And then one other question. Is there, like, with 4-H, eventually the groups work on a project, so that there's something that they are working towards a lot of times. I know the animal husbandry is quite, you know, extensive, and it's really unique to certain people on the county, but is there any thought of doing something similar for projects, like, that to keep, you know, know, building on throughout the iteration of the course, or is it more kind of the shotgun approach of covering more a broad range of topics, you might say?
Yeah, there have been, we have a lead in Wisconsin and North Carolina that have taken the lead on curriculum development, and they have been developing some different project ideas that go along with the curriculum and the needs of the program. And they're kind of still in that development phase, but I know some of the project ideas have been related to, like, a project related to historical figures. I don't want to say the book report because it's more intensive than that, but projects of that nature. Obviously, I have the Youth as Resources program that I'm running, which kind of leads a lot of ideas in terms of like community service and what kind of community service projects the youth might want to get involved in, maybe together. So that is something in the works, but not in the pilot year, have not developed out the project component yet either.
Well, Erica, would it be fair if one of your NEA contacts really wanted to get into photography or do mm-hmm. shooting sports, like you would certainly be able to connect them with those projects through the 4-H network, correct? I mean,
yes.
You wouldn't need to necessarily host it all within NEA different projects.
That's true.
Yeah, because I would, suffice to say, most of the students more into the city environment do not really know what 4-H is, probably.
Yes.
So it's more introducing them. And
yep, definitely. And it's an interesting balance, because it definitely has not helped me recruit people to put, like, the 4-H club around things in the city, because, again, people don't know what it is, or if they do know what it is, they think it's all animal husbandry, which is awesome. But if you've never done that and you've never seen a horse, perhaps, or touched one, like, yeah. Probably not what, or, you know, whichever animal, you might not be that interested. But I think it's really about expanding, not only introducing youth to NEA, but also 4-H, the 4-H pedagogy, I guess. Yeah, philosophy, thank you. And kind of learning about that together.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of information.
Yes. Any other questions?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Could you do me a favor, the slideshow here?
Mm-hmm. Just
forward me an email, because you have a lot of information
absolutely.
In there.
Yes,
absolutely. Just a lot to take in a for a little session here, so.
Definitely. I will send that over, and any other information, I'll send the link to the website.
Anybody else that might be interested?
Yeah, and for myself personally, it's been a really incredible professional development opportunity, because I feel like in my first year with Extension, I learned how to take over YIG and YAR, but to really be part of a team building this program from the ground up is a super exciting opportunity. And we've already seen a really successful example of this with the Juntos program, which is not in Kenosha County at this point, but it might be. It's a 4-H model based on Spanish-speaking communities. That was originally started as a SCIFAR project, such as this, and now is a stable, program of 4-H. And it exists in Racine County, and I'm hoping once we expand our 4-H, department again in Kenosha, that we'll explore opportunities here too. So we're really hopeful that this this pilot, in a way, of this like 5-year program across these counties, really leads to some really positive results and some exciting stuff for 4-H as an entity. Anyway, we're almost done with Extension now, so. Yeah, if anyone has any other questions, please email me. I'll send all that information over. Thanks for your thoughtful questions and ideas, especially. And I look forward to continue working on it.
Okay, thank you. All right. UW Extension Educator Program Updates.
Sure, I can lead off. Again, Mary, Health and Wellbeing Educator. So I have a couple things to share. I am currently promoting and preparing for an upcoming Planning Ahead program, which it is just kind of going out around the state. It is something that Extension created and is facilitating. which is overall addressing end-of-life decisions and planning. So with this, it's something that's open to all adults, whether they're planning for themselves or planning with loved ones or in caregiving roles. It's definitely important information for all age groups. So there is a great workbook, and each session will focus on a different topic. So if you have people that are interested, definitely give them the information. It's posted on our website, and they can certainly give me a call or email me if they have other specific questions. The other thing that I wanted to draw everyone's attention to is, this was just earlier today, we received word on a small state team that I've been working with an extension, that some fact sheets have just been finalized and published for supporting youth, specifically looking at different things around mental health. So there are four fact sheets. I printed off an example for everyone to see kind of the model, but they're addressing adapting to changes, adult-youth relationships, resilience, and self-care. So the aim is at adults that are in youth's lives to be able to help with subject matters such as these. So we as a state team are meeting next week to talk more about kind of dispersing it out statewide. But if you are looking to see the other ones, currently right now they're at go.wisc.edu/supportingyouth. And then I'll get that to April when I know that she sends the follow-up email to the group too. That's all.
Great. Amy Grile here with the Community Development Program, and I'm here to share a little bit of information about a program called the Certified Public Manager Program. You may have heard of this. It is a certification program run through UW-Madison where people would actually go through a year-long process. These are for adults that are working in local government, so this might be your staff. That want to develop their personal sort of, you know, professional skill set. So integrity, managing work, leading people, developing self, systematic integration, public service, and change leadership are a few of the competencies that are covered here. And a close friend and colleague is actually co-presenting around equity and very challenging like topics of inclusion and where we're headed as far as making our workforce more diverse and more culturally competent. So really highly like recommend this program. This is a national program, but it's in Wisconsin. This is housed at UW-Madison, and my Department of Community Development is the organizer, host, whatever you say, of the whole certification program. Meanwhile, some things I'm working on. I have, I'm engaged with a statewide feasibility study, you may recall, around farms to food banks. How do we increase Wisconsin-based products that are value-added or wholesale products to local communities of need? So through food banks, essentially, how are we making those linkages a little bit more systematic and certainly getting better products to areas that have historically been out of supply chains, and you know, whether it be rural areas or whether it be tribal communities. That so we're looking at a statewide feasibility study of essentially how do we get better and more product to all areas of the state of Wisconsin. So that feasibility study is moving through. This is funded through the Medical College of Wisconsin, and I'm just like one of the PIs on the study. In any case, what I'm doing now is interviewing a number of stakeholder groups that are on the ground working in various federal commodity programs now, just to identify where the gaps are, where we can essentially improve supply chains locally and across the state. Additionally, I'm working on a project called Wisconsin Nonprofits Connect to Learn, and this is a mini series. Right now we're learning about planning tools through a mini course, 5-week mini course. So we have six nonprofits enrolled in this course, and we've been going for 5 weeks now, and they're trying on the tools and facilitating their own processes. So that's been really exciting. And the last thing is I'm continuing progress on an academic journal about food banking specifically and how you develop partnerships across very, what can be very competitive landscapes of nonprofit sort of environments where there's scarce resources and people are very, I guess, adverse to wanting to share, collaborate, to partner to such an extent. It's a tough environment to work in, as many of you may know that it's. So I'm looking at that from an academic perspective and creating a journal article that I hope to publish late this year. I have BJ's updates, so I'll go ahead and share those. He's working towards a partnership with the Wisconsin Nursery and Landscape Contractors Association and Metro Milwaukee Landscaping Contractors Association to develop joint curriculum for the 2023 Wisconsin Correctional Inmate Landscape and Grounds Maintenance Short Course. If you got all that, we'll put it together for you later. Provided technical support to the master gardeners and answered consumer inquiries, and he's developed garden plans for a raised bed vegetable garden here at the Kenosha County Center. And he's working with the Kenosha County Facility Department to execute the garden plan that's underway. So I'm not sure to what extent that is kind of in your wheelhouse as well. And then I did have a couple updates from Terry, and then we can move along on that. So Terry just had some staffing updates that the ag position is posted. So for those of you interested, it closes on the 14th of August. So we can definitely get those links out if you know of anyone looking to come into extension. Also, the 4-H position closes on August 22nd. So they're both live, and we're certainly actively recruiting for those, and it is always a process to get candidates in this job market. So I think that's all we have. Erica, did you want to have any other updates from your programs?
Not really. Youth as Resources is starting back up September 20th. Youth and Governance is going well. We're going to have a mentor orientation, even though it's been a couple months already as mentors. Now that everybody's kind of getting the hang of it, we're going to have this opportunity for the mentors to get to know what the youth resources are, things like that. So looking forward to that in a couple of weeks. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for the update. Kind of got a little short at the end here, but it was really good and interesting what you've done with Nia.
Thank you.
Look forward to updates on that as time goes on here. So,